December 22nd, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, episode 2. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, actually doubling as Santa's workshop here in the bedroom of our beloved Banting Park home. I'm joined, as always, by my my favorite producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who is providing the digital excellence from the comfort of his Cream City home near the campus of his alma mater, MATC. This Week in Waukesha, again, is a Civic Media production brought to you in cooperation with WAUK Radio 540 AM or 101.1 FM if you live in the Shaw. And for those of you who missed the first segment, my guest was and is returning is Waukesha South varsity basketball coach in his third year, Lee Montez. Coach Montez, welcome back.
Thank you.
And, yeah, thanks. And we were just we finished that last segment, you know, talking about, you know, the culture, if you will, and what you've been doing to manifest a tight team-based culture. And you emphasized that there's some good talent on this team and that you haven't peaked yet. And as someone that was witness to one of your peak games last year, a big win over Arrowhead at home, I would say, does the team or yourself, do you have goals for the season in terms of how many games you'd like to win or how far you'd like to go in terms of conference rankings or even in the playoffs?
Well, we had our preseason meeting. All the rankings and predictions were out. For conference, we were either picked 7th or 8th. You know, so I told the kids, like, you know, no one's really expecting anything from us. So, I think was a little disrespectful knowing how our program is and what we're capable of.
Sure.
So I just said, let's, you know, the pressure's off. Let's just go out, play, have fun, and compete.
That's good. That's great. So, and is it safe to say that your team leaders would be Jordan Garcia and Keegan DeGeorge since they've been with the team since their freshman year?
Yeah, well, I think Jordan's just the natural born leader.
Sure.
You know, being the quarterback on the football team and stuff like that.
Yes.
But, you know, like, I think Luke Trendle and Isaiah Crawford have kind of stepped into that role as well as seniors and set the expectations for the season as well.
I really enjoy watching those two young men play. And I mentioned watching them a lot in JV while I was waiting for varsity to start when my son Evan was on the team. But Isaiah impressed me as someone who he's much more athletic than he looks. You know, he's a big kid. He carries a fair amount of weight around, but he has great reflexes and quickness and and the strength is a given, but I really enjoy watching him play, especially on the boards. And then Luke Trindle, I think, can also, he's got a great all around game too, that I've always been impressed with, especially his ability to score in the paint as well as from the perimeter. And of course I have a soft spot in my heart for Luke, cause he lives here in our neighborhood over on the other side of Banting in Predeman Park. So we're definitely shouting for him in this neck of Waukesha. So, I especially can't wait to see Luke play. So, but, what's your typical practice regimen like without giving up too many trade secrets?
So, you know, like we work a lot of, you know, just being consistent with the basics and, you know, the fundamentals, daily. And then, you know, we do that probably for a half hour. We probably get some shooting in for a half hour and then either some competitive drills or 5-on-5 stuff, you know, the rest of the time.
That's good. That's good. So now, as we mentioned, you're a baseball dad. Your twin sons have been on varsity since their sophomore year. They're seniors this year. And I believe, you know, and obviously your older brother being the West coach, you played some baseball when you were younger. And me also being, you know, I played when I was young and huge fan still. I broadcast my daughter's club softball games on Game Changer. But what do you have any baseball type superstitions that you or the team do?
Well, I think just being an athlete, you're superstitious either way. If it's, you know, eating the same meal before games.
Right.
If it's, you know, the way you put your uniform on, right, or anything like that. So, sure. I think my one superstition is when I was young, I wanted to leave and walk down to my game. My mom said, "Oh, you got plenty of time. Cut your fingernails before you go." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I did it. Well, I hit a home run that game. So nice. Before every game now, I cut my fingernails, either if it's, you know, coaching baseball or coaching basketball. I always cut my fingernails before the game. So
that's classic. So what if it's like, because typically the games are like Tuesdays and Fridays during the week, right?
Yeah.
So you're still cutting those nails on Friday afternoon?
I'm still cutting if it's Friday, Saturday too. Okay. So.
I love it. That's a great one. Thanks for sharing. I'd like to see some of the other coaches top that. So that if I can get them on the show. So that's a great, I appreciate that. And switching gears to baseball for a second, like, you know, your sons have shown a lot in their career with South. And I thought I saw, maybe it was on Instagram, that one of your sons has committed to a school for baseball. Is that right?
Well, if he has, he hasn't shared that with his parents yet.
Okay. So I'll have to give you the handle on their social media pages. So.
Yeah. I know Alex has kind of narrowed it down to a couple schools.
Okay.
But as far as I know, he hasn't committed yet. So.
And what are those schools, if you don't mind me asking, or if you're able to share?
So one is St. Mary's in Winona.
Nice.
One is Concordia here in Wisconsin, yeah, at Mequon.
Sure, where Ben Jimenez has transferred to.
Correct. So. And then the other one is Benedictine in Lyle.
Chicagoland, yeah. Yep. Right near North Central, the CCIW football powerhouse.
Correct. So,
well, that's it. As you may know, if he does decide to go to Concordia, that I think by the time he's a sophomore, they will be in the CCIW, the same conference as our hometown, Carroll University.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you'll be traveling to, well, maybe it isn't for both. For sure it's for football. So I don't, maybe it isn't for all athletics. I assume that it would be, but we'll need to confirm that, coach. So again, my apologies for jumping the gun. So, but our son Evan, he's in the football program now, as you know, at Carroll, and he was on the JV team. You know, it was his first year. After a year away from football, he got back into it. And his last JV game or scrimmage, if you will, was against Concordia, and he got to play against Ben Jimenez and Logan Dable, who starts on the varsity, was there, like watching. And you know, their families were there too, so it was great to catch up with a lot of old South parents. So like I said, so maybe in the fall we'll have to get you a schedule so you can check out some of Evan's games if your boys aren't busy with fall ball.
Correct.
Although they'll be in school. Yeah, you'll probably be, you know, if they're playing foul ball, you'll probably be doing some traveling with them. Now, is your other son going to be looking at playing baseball in college too?
Braden has an offer at Benedictine as well.
Okay. Oh, great. Oh, okay. Package deal.
that would be nice. That would be nice. He's trying to decide if that's his, you know, if that's what he's supposed to do, or Braden's really getting an interest in doing the trades and something like electrical or carpentry, something like that. And if that's his path and that's what he wants to do, then, you know.
So many great opportunities in the trades. Yeah. So certainly that's, and he could still be playing club ball, I think, with somebody, or I know some of these, junior colleges have baseball programs, so he can still continue his career and after high school.
Yes.
So, but it's good that he's thinking about that, because it's a great, it is a commendable career path. It's neat, because years ago, like when because I'm about 9 years older than you, and when we were in high school, it was like, oh, what are you doing? Where are you going to go to college? And now it's like, I don't, when I talk to my son's friends or any young people I know, and I always say, you know, what are you doing after high school? Because there's so many great opportunities in the trades, and I don't know if we as a society do a good enough job promoting them, because it's the kind of thing, if you're good with your hands, or if you're good at a certain, if you have a passion about a certain skill, you know, within like 5 years, you could be self-employed. So I write for a lot of the trades, and so that's how I know this. So it's good that your son's got that consideration as well. So, well, neat. So, and I would imagine mom would like to have at least one of the boys closer to home, huh?
Is she ready
for an empty nest?
And it sure would be different, you know, if they were both gone and away from at school. But
yeah,
unfortunately, that's the time of the life we are in right now as parents. So
yeah, well, like I said, we're a couple years behind you on that front, so it won't be long before we're in the same boat. So
correct.
So we'll have to get together for dinner then.
We'll have more time then.
That is it. That's it. So, what's your thoughts about, you know, I've shared this with people. I've been working for a couple of years now on forming a neighborhood association where I live, because since the redistricting, the reason I had to step down as alderman, our contiguous neighborhood is just cut right in half in terms of legislative boundary. And so I've been working with my successor, Mike Rosine, about starting a neighborhood association that can help more effectively represent our interests as a neighborhood. But one of the pillars for me would be youth baseball that would be affordable and accessible for so many of our kids. And I just wanted, you know, what you'd like to see more of, because it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that as great as our parks and rec are in Waukesha and in other areas in Waukesha County, and that it seems like a lot of them have abandoned like youth baseball, or the commitment's very minimal, kind of giving way to the clubs. And, you know, I'm talking about a time when I was a kid, I could play in the summer for like $25. I could play like Monday through Friday from 9 to 12. And it was always like the coaches or the instructors were high school or college players. And, it was that repetition that really helped. And it's like, now it's, I think there might be one or two nighttime slots during the week, and then that's it. And then the program's over after like 5 weeks or something like that. And do you get that same impression, or what would, you know, if you were king, what would you like to see at the youth level for baseball, boys and girls, you know, for rounders, baseball and softball?
Well, like you said, like the clubs and travel teams have kind of just taken over youth sports.
Yeah.
To begin with. And, you know, obviously one, there's a lot of money out there. We were in Iowa this past summer, and it was like $60 for myself, and not including my wife, to get in. So it was $120.
Okay.
Just for us to come in and watch four or five games.
Yeah.
So like, it's gotta be one, more affordable. And, and I think second is, you know, a lot of these parents have to stop living their life through their child, that their child's going to go pro or Division One and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, I think as a coach and a parent, like, I knew my kids probably aren't going to go pro. I'm very thankful that, you know, they both have a chance to play college baseball. But where there's money, there's going to be a business for it. So unfortunately, all these organizations are taking advantage of parents and kids.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. It had been going on in hockey for years. And obviously a much more expensive sport, you know, like couples had faced like bankruptcy, or even like had gotten divorced because it was too much to pay for their kid to be on a traveling team. And it's, the other sports have kind of followed suit. And like I said, $25 got you on a little league team, and all you needed to pay for was a glove and cleats, but everything else was provided, the bats, the balls, and then the same thing for rec ball. So $50 for two different types of baseball in the summer, in the warm weather. Now it's like $25. You might be lucky if you can buy a pair of socks. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's insane. It's a new Jim Crow is what it is.
Right. And so, then put on traveling, you know, spending four nights at a hotel and eating out and gas money and, you know, bats aren't bats are $300 now, gloves are $300 now. So,
well, and that's you know, in the kids, you've got a bat or a glove, a batting glove, you know, for every emotion. You know what I mean? It's like a whole, it's really become a thing. And so, and not necessarily to the kids' fault, because the parents are bought into it too. It's just like you said, we unfortunately live our lives vicariously too much to our children. And, you know, and that, again, that was the benefit of like Little League or, especially the rec ball in the morning. You know, your parents were at work, and so they didn't have time to come in and see the action here. So we got about 4 minutes, and so Coach, I'm gonna give you a chance for one last statement. Then I got a special Christmas reading that you're welcome to listen to. I think you can share it with your family, a holiday reading, I should say. But what else do you want to say about your Black Shirts program? Similar to how you know we talked about talent, you talked about you haven't peaked early. Any other predictions or good, you know, like or promotional messages you want to say about your Black Shirts?
Yeah, well, you know, for anybody that, you know, wants to come out and support high school athletics, you can go on our website, goblackshirts.com, right, and get our schedule. We'd love to see you, especially the alumni. We had Jim Rappas come in and speak to the kids couple weeks ago, and they really enjoyed it, and I think he enjoyed
it. Who's Jim Rappas again? I apologize. I'm not a native.
So Jim was, he went to high school in the 60s.
Okay.
At South.
Yeah.
He had a scholarship and played at Arizona.
Nice.
All 4 years, he got drafted by the Bucks.
Okay.
And then he went and played in Europe for about 15 years. So
that's awesome. I love that. So
yeah,
you're probably too young to remember Bob McAdoo. He was he played for my hometown Buffalo Braves and one of the more prolific scorers. And his favorite moments were playing in Italy. Like his team had won like the league championship, and he remembers being carried off on the shoulders of the people out of the field house. Like a really special memory. So, but anyway, Coach Montez, thanks so much for sharing tonight. And especially as you get into your busy season with hoops, really appreciate your gift of time, and wishing you and your family all the best for the holidays. Here's a holiday tradition I'd like to renew. I wasn't able to do it last year because that's when we made our transition from radio to podcast. But this is a reading called Another Boy, and it was written in the 1920s by Bruce Barton, the creator of the Betty Crocker cookbook series. And we'll jump right into it. And you don't have to be religious to appreciate this. Like, it's really, to me, it's more about the importance of children. But sleepless and bewildered, but gloriously proud, the husband of Mary emerged from the stable and made his way to the census taker's booth. For it was the decree of Imperial Rome ordering a general census that had brought them to Bethlehem. The angel's song hummed through his heart and timed his steps with its rhythm. His fine bronzed face was radiant with the wonder of the night. But enrollment blanks and reckonings kept the census taker busy, and all he saw was another peasant standing in the line. Name? He demanded in a routine tone. Joseph, carpenter of Nazareth, of the house of David. Married? Yes. Wife's name? Mary. Children? The sturdy young carpenter drew himself up. One child, he answered proudly. A son, Jesus, born last night. Was there any comment? Did that petty government official who wrote for the first time the name that was to be above every name, did he wonder as he wrote? Probably not. It was just one more name on the census roll. Just another boy. What laughter would have rung through Rome if someone had pointed to that name and said, there is the beginning of the end of your empire and of all the empires everywhere. Yet it would have been true. Democracy began and thrones began to totter when he said, you are all sons and daughters of God. For if all men and women are sons and daughters of God, then all our brothers and sisters and the poorest are entitled to equal privileges with the king. Rome would have laughed, and Rome is dead. The influence of the child lives on, uplifting the standards of action and thought, inspiring laws, enlisting the strong in service of the needy and the weak. We celebrate this month, his birthday, and the festival of all children everywhere. They, not we, are the really important people of the earth. In cradles and at the foot of Christmas trees are the lives that are to overthrow and rebuild all that we have built. Nothing is so powerful or so perfect that it cannot be transformed utterly by the miracle of another girl or another boy. I want to thank you again, Coach Montez, for joining me for both segments tonight. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank my amazing producer, the mighty Max Martinson. Max, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're wrapping it up. So please remember, everybody, during this holiday season that safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, Nelly Hanahuit, and see ya!